Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I'm excited about joining you today on VFN Radio. Of course, I have with me in the studio today, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm excited about sharing a couple more things we got to share yesterday. I'm going to catch you up today a little bit about, you know, what we shared and have a little brain freeze. Got some things to be able to share with you on that as well. I want to give a shout out to the VFN family that's all over the globe. Good morning, VFN family. Oh my goodness, the Lord is doing wonderful, wonderful things in His church. We'll be right back in just a moment. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. The Lord is good, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Those that are heading the morning drive this morning, I want to congratulate you. You are being faithful. Ephesians 6, that's what the Lord says. Blessed is he who provides for his family, right? That's a believer. We're excited how the Lord has blessed you with work this morning. We have to remember that nobody kidnapped us and forced us to go to this blessing we call a job. God has blessed you with work. It's an awesome thing. Woo! Lord, we thank you for our jobs and all the employment that you're giving the VFN family and the church and listeners abroad. Well, we got a shout out this morning to John up in New Jersey. You're heading to work this morning up there, Berkeley, the beautiful Berkeley up in New Jersey. Man, we love you. Thinking about you. I got your text this morning. Okay, if my mother's listening, hey, Mama, I love you.
Good morning.
Give a little shout-out to my wife this morning. Hey, Donna. Hey, baby. Woo! Praise God. I am so excited about coming to you today on VFN Radio. I want to start with a challenge this morning to you. I want to challenge you today. Today's challenge is this. I want to challenge you in the midst of all the things that you're seeing and all the things you're seeing done, realize, you know, you're God's. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ dwells in you. The creator of the universe lives inside of you. And the hope for glory in the world is you realize that inside of you, that glory resides. Isn't that exciting? Here's my challenge for you. Here's my challenge for you and me this morning. It's in Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to challenge you to think about just good things all day long. No matter what you see, even what we share on VFN Radio today. Realize, you know, we're just finding out what's going on, but we're not intimidated by it. We're not fearful about it. As a matter of fact, we look up when these things are happening because we know that our redemption draws nigh. Oh, my goodness. Or for the GIV version is Jesus coming.
Amen.
But Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and reading it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. And it's like an explanation mark. And he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Oh, my goodness. Are you gentle? Are you a gentle person? Dear God, I'm working on being gentle. Okay. And this is what we're going to do. I'm being gentle. And then he says, the Lord is near. Think about that. Say, the Lord is near me. The Lord is near me. Do not be anxious about anything. Think about anything, even all the stuff that we're hearing. You know, I want you to give a shout out this morning to Tracy at the Naval Federal Credit Union.
Good morning, Tracy. I love you.
Oh my goodness, that is your wife. Okay. The
the last time I checked.
Let me go. Oh, yep, I just searched it. The and so he says, you know, the Lord is near you. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with gratitude, right? With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It sounds like, you know what? If I just abide with him in the morning time, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and mind. Isn't that awesome?
Right.
So this is the challenge. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. Truth is important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Think about it. I want to challenge you today to think about these things. You know, just focus and look at somebody, you know, and the adversary may be saying all kinds of stuff about that person to you, but you look and say, you know what? Find something. You could say, you know, that one hair on the left side of their head. No, I mean, just find something good about them. Listen, God, they're created in the image and the likeness of God. You know, if you look long enough, you can find something, you know, really good to focus on. Maybe it's your employees today. I want to encourage you to thank God for them and pray for them. Maybe it's your boss. You know, thank God for your employer and your boss. Oh my goodness, I just saw something come up on DoSpace. I think I saw a little dog laid back on his back.
I think those are Jordan's pictures.
Oh my goodness, Jordan, I love that. That was great. So I just want to challenge you today as we're getting started on our VFN radio program that the challenge is to think on good things. You say, okay, I'm going to think on good things. I'm going to think on good things. And realize you can face the truth and still think on good things. Wow, what an exciting day. I want to share with you this morning from a word of Proverbs. Remember, it's the first of the month, and we want to look at Proverbs chapter 1. And every time we come together, I want to remind you that, you know, there's nothing more destructive quite often is to have knowledge without wisdom, because knowledge without wisdom puffs you up, and it causes you to be self-reliant. But with wisdom, it causes you to apply that knowledge in a proper way. And Proverbs 1 is really good because it sets the whole term, but sets the whole theme for wisdom of what's going on, and it's just awesome. But this is a very appropriate thing when you think about it. And today, you know, God wants to share his heart with us. He wants to share his secrets with us. But yet he doesn't force his voice on us. We have to actually seek his voice. And he wants to share the secret things of his heart to us. But there's something we have to do to respond to that. He's not going to yell over all of our circumstances and our demanding our way and all these different things. You know, he's just an awesome, loving, gentle God, and he wants us to desire to be with him. Well, we're going to do a couple of verses today, in since it's the first of the month, Proverbs 1. You know, Proverbs 1:20. You know, we're looking at lots of calamity. We're looking at the Greece economy that's coming to a knot. You know, where they're actually you know, basically probably going to be out of the European Union really soon. You're looking at Spain in the same situation. You're looking at the euro just being challenged. They're looking at Germany to bail them out, which last time they looked to Germany wasn't good. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We got to look to God, not to man or their governments. And so in that, you know, I think of the word of David Wilkerson. You know, he's gone to be with the Lord now. He opened up the ministry, Times Square Church, and he'd been prophesied. He prophesied for years about, you know, what we need to be able to get right in regards to the ways of the Lord, and his prophecies are coming to pass. You know, I think of the book. I mean, I mentioned it this week already, but I just want to encourage you. It's a 1998 prophecy that was written down that's called America's Last Call on the Brink of Financial Holocaust. And, you know, it's the truth. But see, the thing about, you know, the enemy messes with us in saying, oh, because you made a mistake, because we've sinned or we failed, you know, that it's over. So I guess I just might as well just not. And the thing about it is all these things happen to be able to turn us back to him so he can love on us. Mm-hmm. He can love on us. Can you imagine that?
Wow. Amazing.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, oh my God, love on us, you know, forgive us, restore us.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one time when God's people, you know, had gone astray, you know, and as you see over and over again, and it was just a mess. I mean, it's sort of like a checking account that's just all over the place, and you got to do like a forced balance situation. You just get, okay, whatever the base
is. We'll just dump it and start over.
We'll just start over again, you know, we'll just call it a forced balance, you know, and it's so refreshing because you can say, okay, we'll just start with their numbers since I have all kinds of numbers all over the place. And I'm sure that that probably doesn't happen to you. But anyway, so then God just says in the midst of this mess to Israel, I mean, they're sinning, they're doing all these horrific things. He's talking about what they're doing. And now the middle of nowhere, he just says, okay, listen. I'm just not going to remember anymore. Let's just start. It's a do-over. You know? Let's just start over again. I mean, they didn't even ask for it. He just says, I'm not going to remember them. I'm just not going to remember them. Now, I wish we could have that ability not to remember. You know what I'm saying?
Lord.
You know, you're really good at remembering things.
I used to be.
I've been blessed enough not to. Where are we? What's going on? I remember I was calling the brother Ken. You know, we were talking and... And in the middle of our conversation on the phone, I sat there and said, oh, wait a minute. Who is this? And he goes, I don't know. Who is this? I said, why are you calling me? It was so funny. You know, we started laughing. It's like, do you remember why you called me? You know, you just never know. I mean, there's one thing you need to really do. It's very, very important. You know, Jesus told Peter, you know, work while it's still day, because there'll be days somebody leads you by your hand. But listen, work while your mind's still functioning.
Yeah, right.
Well, because you got a good memory. You don't waste your memory on junk. Oh, my goodness, you know. Store up God's word and just activate, you know what I'm saying, and get involved in it. So we're going to read. I'm reading from Proverbs because it's the first of the month, right? And we read the corresponding proverb for that month, and so there's 31 Proverbs, and today is the first, so we're going to go to the first one. It's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, on reading. He says, wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out in the gateways of the city. She makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke. Think about it. Oh, my goodness. I thought you was hating on me. No. The enemy is so messed up disciplined that you know, we have difficulty receiving correction. You know what I'm saying? And understanding that, you know, God disciplines those that he loves. And he's bringing, discipline is about bringing people to a place of desired outcome. It's not about punishment in the context of, hey, I'm just going to bring retribution on you. And he said, if you would have responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you. Listen, do you want your abiding times to just explode with the voice of the Lord? Think about it. He said, if you would have responded to my rebukes, I would have poured out my heart to you. Look at that. God is wanting just to pour out his heart to us. He's wanting to just have this, you know, it's since the Garden of Eden, it's been about a relationship, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that he just wants to pour his heart out to you and to us. But we have to get positioned to be able to do that. And one is to get in the place that he tells us to be. And discipline comes our way. He says, consider hardship as discipline. God is treating us as a son in Hebrews 12. And so he's just bringing us to that place. He's not hating on us. He's not, You know, and we got to get that because he's always going to bring, like a shepherd takes his staff and kind of pushes it this way and pushes that sheep this way. That's not an evil thing. That's a loving thing from a shepherd. And he says, anyway, if you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. Isn't that awesome? Nobody can control. Isn't that awesome, Pat? You think about it?
That's very good.
God, the creator of the universe, wants to make his heart known to us.
Amazing.
You know, you think about it, somebody, well, God just never talks to me. Have you ever thought about getting rid of the rebellion? Did you ever think about reading the word and following it? Did you ever think about, well, no. Listen, it's God has awesome plans in store for you, plans to bless you and prosper you and to give you a future. It's the adversary that brings in the counterfeit of everything that goes on. So it goes on to say, he says, but since you rejected when I called, think about it, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. God, I thank you for stretching out your hand. May we grab your hand this morning. May we grab your hand this morning. Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. Oh, my goodness. I will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelms you, then they will call on me and I will not answer. You know, quite often, you know, we just take for granted, you know, God's being there for us in our abiding times and and just talking to him. But there comes a time if we just stay in sin, if we refuse to turn back to him, it's like brass heavens, you know. Yeah. I know that Brother John Kilpatrick wrote a book about brass heavens and dealing with the brass heavens when your prayers go up and you hit, you know, they just feel like they're hitting the ceiling.
Yep, just bounces right off.
But, you know, basically, really, you think about a brass heaven, it's really a hard heart. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really a hard heart. And so then they will call on me and I will not answer. They will look for me, but they won't find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, then they will eat the fruit of their ways. And God's so merciful. Let me tell you something. You know, it's not that, you know, when you're walking with God and you're listening to him, you know, you're still, you know, have a sin nature. You still have to take carry things to the cross and be empowered by God. And we'll talk about that today. By the cross of Christ to be able to walk this walk out. But he's cool with that. That's how he's designed that, you know? And, but you know, Lord, we don't want to eat the fruit of our ways. You know, the mercies of God is about, you know, when a person goes to the courthouse and they throw themselves on the mercies of the court, what they're saying is, you know, I've done wrong and I know what I deserve. You know, I deserve maybe 10 years in prison. Maybe they say something like that, which is a correction. It's not a punishment per se. And so he throws himself on the mercy of the court. And then the judge says, you know, he pauses, he deliberates or whatever. And he comes out and he's and mercy is, okay, I tell you, I'm going to give you probation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you probation. And I'll tell you what, in these court systems in America, you know, being in law enforcement, I've seen a lot of people, you know, get that mercy. Mercy's like, well, you deserve time, but I'm going to give you probation. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people they violate their probation. You know, they say, listen, you can be out, you know, you can be on house arrest or you can just be free. Just all you got to do is check in with your probation officer or something like that. And then the next thing you know that they're getting arrested is like, dude, you got 10 years hanging over your head, 10 years hanging over your head and you've been issued mercy and you're going to go violate your probation. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You know what
totally
I'm saying?
Amazing.
And so God can have mercy on us, but during that mercy period of time when we actually should be eating the fruit of our labors, we need to be really humble and listen to what God's saying because he can violate our probation.
Instantly.
It's like, what happened? I got 10 years on the backside of the desert. Oh, man, I wish I would listen to the judge. Anyway, so, and he says, you eat the fruit of your ways, but be filled with the fruit, he says, and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. So all those schemes that were going on, he says, okay, I'm just going to turn you over to those schemes. He said, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them. And the complacency, think about that. Oh, I want to abide with the Lord this morning, but you know, this bed's really comfortable, and, you know, I'm just tired because I stayed up all night watching insignificant programming on insignificant television.
Nice.
Watching reality programs while not living. Anyway, so then, you know, watch us, right? You may have fun. Hey, you know, hey, there's a new show we got going on, right?
Right.
Wow, man, you see what happened yesterday. Okay. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. And complacency is like, you know what? I know what I need to do, but I'm just not going to do it. And listen to this last part, and this is the big one. It says, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Think about it. It doesn't matter what's going on. Yeah, if the whole world is suffering, or even lots large portions of the church are suffering because they were complacent and they wouldn't listen to God's rebuke, you can listen to God. You can abide with God. God can keep you. I mean, think about over and over again, we see where God would actually keep people to himself and he'd protect them, not because they're perfect, but because they just listened to him. You know, they abided with him and did what he said, and God revealed his secrets of his heart to them. And today, because, you know, King David wrote those secrets down, we're actually still living on those secrets. And, you know, we're excited about, you know, sharing in the future what the things God's revealed to us. But I want to encourage you, that's the wisdom for today, knowing that, listen, you know, we just got to respond to him. You know, the reason what's happening in the earth right now, and let's just focus on America this one moment, is the fact that, hey, you know what? God's getting our attention. He's getting our attention. You know, when I was in law enforcement, that, and for those that are in law enforcement, they're listening to me, you know, it's very important to understand. I mean, you understand, obviously, but, and things are changing. And we had, I think, a horse and buggy when I was in there. And we had, but, you know, is it that you had to be able to use what's called minimum force necessary. And I'm still talking about the Proverbs for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And minimum force necessary means that, you know, when somebody has a weapon, for example, and you walk up to them and you're the police officer and you're talking to them, the first thing you do is scream, run, and get another job. No, I'm messing with you. That's not true. That's not true. Anyway, and so you're thinking, oh, my goodness. No, the you get your position, you take authority. You know, and you tell them verbally, you give them a verbal command.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you send a prophet to the church and you say, drop the weapon, right? Mm-hmm. And the person says, okay, I'm glad you asked me. I'll go ahead and drop it now. I mean, very seldom does this happen that way, right? And so then you escalate. Now you're actually, you give authoritative command. You're going to raise your voice even louder and drop the weapon, or I'm going to, and you verbally articulate where you're going to progress and use minimum force necessary. So you're working your way up a scale of using force. And if they actually would have responded with a verbal request, then things will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so then once they understand what's coming next in the escalation of force, and they didn't do it, then you got to progress to that. But you have articulated, and you need to articulate to a jury of their peers, that we got to this huge amount of force because, you know, I offered him 15 opportunities and it just escalated, you know.
Right.
And that's why people don't understand when they look at situations in law enforcement, they think, oh, I can't believe they use this kind of force. But if you look, the officer progressed. I mean, the progression could be in 60 seconds. I mean, you right. can't just wait 4 hours and say you need to get shot doing that.
Yeah.
And so then the next thing they would say, you know, okay, I'm going to bring out maybe a, back then it was more of a PR-24 or a stun gun, but now they have tasers.
Mm-hmm.
And a taser, we got to try that out one day on the air and find out how that works. You know, we had to actually use the stun gun on ourselves to be right. able to use the stun gun.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you more about the experience.
I got a TENS unit you can borrow.
No. Well, I need, we need to try that out. We don't want to be able to testify to our listeners right. whether it works or not. And of course, since I'll be the one talking about what's going on, do you mind if I actually tase you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm serious. Pretty cool, you know? It's pretty cool. Now, me, since it basically works on, you know, what does it call it? A voluntary muscle group.
Right.
It won't affect me as much as it affects you. I remember that I was working a side job at a a ball game, a football game, mm-hmm. And I was learning how the stun gun worked in the sheriff's department, and I had to chase this guy up. It was actually for those that are in Pensacola, it was a Scambia High School, and Scambia High School is like down in some the football stadium in a hole, you know, no wind blows there, and so blows over there but not there, and this guy violates the law or something, and he runs up that ramp. This ramp is like, you know, you got to understand, for those guys in Colorado in the mountains, you know, we're like in the flatlands. There is the only thing that's high around here is our stomach when we lay down. And so anyway, so then I had to chase him all the way up this whole huge ramp. I mean, it's huge. And I was in better shape then. I mean, you know, I was in a different shape. Anyway, so then I ran all the way up there, and I finally got up in the parking lot. For those that are in Pensacola area, you know where the driver's ed area is in Scambia High School, where we all tried to learn to drive. And so I get him over there. He's fighting with me, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and I'm just gasping for air. And I take my stun gun, because my escalation of force is to the point of stun gun, mm-hmm. and I took it, and I stunned him, but he was real fluffy. He was real fluffy fat, and so when I stunned him, because he didn't have the voluntary muscle involuntary muscle group that like I'm talking about, all he did was just say mama. And I was like, but it didn't affect him at all,
right?
And so it's going to take a different level of force because, you know, of how he was. And so when you're progressing through force, when you're progressing, it's the same. God's the same way. He wants us just to respond to his verbal instruction. Mm-hmm. And people say, you know, why is it getting so rough? Because he's been talking to us for a decade now. You know, we've been prophesying for years, mm-hmm. and we'll talk more about that. But, you know, that God wants the father's hearts to turn to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. But the shaking and the trembling is hardship to turn us back to turning our hearts to the fathers and the sons. So we'll talk more about that. So, and then if the taser, you bring the taser, I said, listen, I'm fixing to tase you if you don't drop the weapon. Mm-hmm. And so they go, no. And then they're shocked, literally. They're shocked emotionally, and then they're shocked because the taser hits them. And then they not only drop the gun, but they drop themselves and everything else, and they drop a few other things probably when the taser hits you. But it was an escalation of force. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly, when you read about the Lord and understand the ways of the Lord, that's how he responds. And when you're like, you know, somebody says, why is it always so rough for me? Why is my life so, you know, you got to look at yourself and says, well, maybe you don't listen to God when he's talking to you with the gentle promptings. Maybe when your pastor's telling you, and your spiritual father speaking into your life, or a spiritual mother is saying, listen, honey, you need to think. And they're not going to be yelling at you. They're just going to, you might better think about it. Your arm might fall out if you do that, you know? And you don't listen. And next thing you know, you're in prison, you're in jail. And, mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that was just an unnecessary thing. You could have listened. And that's what God's saying here. If you would have just listened to me, you know, and right now the Lord has got prophets all over the place. That's the verbal commands are going out for us to obey him. And now it's time for us to go, you know, hey, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And with that, we can turn and everything's going to be okay.
Right.
But quite often it just doesn't work like that. It didn't work like that. You know, when I was in law enforcement quite often, mm-hmm. and in ministry, I found out sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes you just got to go through hardship, but God is still cool with that. You know, mm-hmm. we might be limping when we come out of that, and, you know.
Patient.
Yeah, you know about limping and things like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so I just want to encourage you today with the word of wisdom this morning that, you know, that listen to God. Listen to God, and that if we don't listen, God's not going to be kind of rescuing us in this turmoil. He's going to let us go through this turmoil. I mean, you read the word of God, and it says, God's people, it says, cried out to the Lord, and he answered. Mm-hmm. And you think, that was awesome. Oh, my goodness. But you back up one more verse, and he said, for 8 years they suffered under oppression.
Yeah, right.
Then they cried out.
Yeah.
And that's like minimum force necessary. So, you know, let's just... The whispers of God, the gentle voices, the promptings of the Holy Spirit, when he tells us, you know, he says, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not just do what's right? Why not just do what's right? Sin is crouching at your door. Why not just do what's right? Lord, help us do what's right. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's listen to these spots, and I'll be right back. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news. You know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. If you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. You know, I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I mean, I'm just, you know, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. But my dream is that there's a third great awakening coming to the United States of America, where fathers' hearts are turning to their children and children to their fathers, natural and spiritual. I have a dream that God, that God's people will once again seek his voice, not the voice of others or search engines on the virtual highway. I have a dream. I have a dream that where the more persecuted the church becomes, the greater it grows in size, and the fear of the Lord resides. It is a dream that has cost me mostly everything to this point, of which I've gladly surrendered, but I desire to begin this conversation with you through VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program. But I want to remember when we were there at Israel, the time that we were praying over the borders? Mm-hmm. And we're just asking God to protect Israel, and we're driving the whole, you know, loop around Israel, and you know, just you know, it was powerful, you mm-hmm. know, obviously, yeah. and we're seeing even some of the damaged buildings in the north from the, I guess, the 1967 situation mm-hmm. yeah. that happened up there.
Tanks in the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And remember the cab situation? I'll tell you something funny. This is funny. You know, when you get to, obviously, you get to a different country, they're going to exchange your money, and they take your money, and they give you their money back. And, of course, it was so funny to watch Pat stand there at the exchange booth, and they took all of his cash and his money, yeah. and they filled his hands full of shekels, and yeah. I bet you should have seen the look on his face. The look on his face was, oh, I just know I got robbed. I just lost everything I had.
It's all gone.
That was so funny. What just happened? Your face was just kind of hung down, you know. It was yeah. hilarious. And so so then, you know, we're coming back. We're coming back. And from, you know, you were buying gold. And, this, you know, you were all, we're down there at the Galilean experience, the Galilean experience, and We came back in we were going to take a cheroot. Remember the cheroot? If you're in Israel and you're taking a cheroot is like the short bus for school. You know what I'm saying? It's like the little small bus.
Yeah, it's like carpooling.
It's carpooling, but it's like, you know, the little short buses for school. And of course, it looks different, but it's about the same size. And they have a device up front that collects the money like a regular city bus does. You throw the change in there or whatever. But you have to be prepared because there's a reason why people don't sit up front. We sat up front. And what happens is everybody starts passing their money up to you up front.
Yeah.
And you have to go put all their money in the slots. Like, oh, my goodness, you know. So anyway, you know, we're about to leave. You know, this particular time, we're getting ready to leave Israel. And we make it to the airport. And if you've been to Israel, their security is very, very good. And there's, you know, it's armed guards around the airport. They're giving you the eyeball. They're looking at you, you know, profiling you to see if you look like a terrorist or anything like that. And, of course, one guy we had with us was just really just freaking out. I don't know what I'll do, but we won't talk about it. And so they come up there and they start asking. They pull you apart and they start asking you questions and all that. And so they pulled me to one area and they pulled you to the other area. And they're asking us, what did you do when you were here? And of course, you know, I'm talking to them about, you know, whatever we did or, you know, in general, visited some friends, you know, saw some things. But Pat's mind goes blank. It goes blank. And he goes.
And I was alone.
Yeah. He's alone. Yeah. And then he goes, we rode the borders. Oh, no. You told him we rode the borders. He says, my mind went blank. That's all I could say. Next thing I know, he was in the back. Behind some curtain, and they were actually searching everything he had.
They tore everything apart.
Remember that?
Oh, they tore up my little CD player, ripped it apart. That thing never worked again.
Yeah. And now they're actually searching all my stuff, and you know, they want to know if your hair dryer, his hair dryer. You'll understand that. You know, Pat's very particular about his hair.
I did not have a hair dryer.
Was that your hair dryer? They shipped it back.
No.
They did.
It was my CD player.
Oh, it was a CD player?
They tore it apart and make sure I didn't have a bomb in it.
I thought they shipped your moose and your hair dryer back.
Okay. That was you.
That was not moose. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
It was me. Really?
I think so.
Could have been. You know what I'm saying?
Could have been. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. And so then they pull out my Palm. It was a long time because it was a Palm Pilot.
Yeah.
It was a very long time. And so it didn't work. And they were talking about, well, we got to keep it or ship it back. And I'm thinking like, no. And so I did something to it and it did something. They said, great, you can take it. But I remember I was drinking coffee, like some big cappuccino thing or something. And I was okay in the beginning. By the time I drank all that coffee, I'm like wired.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness. And so then we're getting on the plane to come back and it's like a long, 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 long flight back to America, and
like 15 hours, I think.
Yeah, and so you're buckled into your seat, and you have those middle seats. It's got like four or five seats in the middle, you know, and you're sitting on the edge, and so everybody's eyeballing those seats, you know. You're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm sure this wasn't the proper thing to do.
we didn't care.
You know, well, kind of. And so then we thought if we could stretch out over those seats, there's a lot of empty seats in the middle. But as soon as he said, you can unbuckle your seatbelts, we were grabbing pillows and took off. But the problem is, you know, some of the fruit and the nuts in Israel are just huge, you know, and they had these chocolate covered almonds that were huge, dark chocolate covered almonds. Oh, my goodness. And so we ate the whole bag. So when we actually lay down to go to sleep, we were wide awake from all the caffeine and the chocolate. So we had a wonderful time, and so they assumed that Pat was on the borders doing the wrong reasons, and so...
I was praying, I swear.
Yeah, right. And that's definitely not, you know, when you think about what happens over there with Islam and prayers every single day, you know, praying on the borders not to a Jewish man doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean safety. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, anyway, it was just pretty funny to watch that take place, and... we made it out of there, and we really enjoyed it. I encourage you, if you haven't gone to Israel, to go and to visit them. There's nothing like praying at the Western Wall.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer, and you ask them, you know, hey, what's God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Is God supposed to speak to me?
Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. That God desires to speak to you, and He's going to speak to you through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10. It says, "My sheep know My voice."
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through His Word. You know, if you're out there and you wanted to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what He's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he
cares about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much He loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with Him and hear His voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
There's nothing like, you know, having your own personal abide. And that's what you're saved for. God to reveal His heart to you, His secrets to you. And that's between you and Him. That is so precious. You know, it's just so, you know, when you go and you check out iabide.org, you also will be able to see a few things. But also, if you request it, you can just request a simple abiding plan, you know, to be able to abide. You just kind of request it. It immediately comes to you. And we have a whole little video in there to be able to just kind of talk to you about abiding lifestyle, John chapter 15. But we also have so many simple little things to help you out, a simple plan. And we're just excited about hearing, we're going to be sharing with you on VFN Radio, you know, testimonies and people's stories, you know, and you're going to lean forward like we lean forward. You know, what is God saying to you? And they actually answer the question. And when they speak, you can feel it just quick down to your heart, you know, quicken down to your heart. It's like, wow, that's powerful. That is totally powerful. And it's just really awesome. So I encourage you to go to iabide.org. I do want to say before we move on is that out of IHOP, the International House of Prayer Kansas City, which we'll be talking a lot about, and you can find out about them at ihop.org, in our prayer and fasting community that we have, you know, that, you know, as we were searching and trying to find, you know, how do we do this, God? How do we walk out 24 hours of prayer? You know, that the Lord led me to what Mike Bickle had been laboring since 1998, which is really interesting. That's exactly when, you know, he led us to where we were going in 1998. And it's also exactly when, you know, God wrapped up telling Rick Joyner about the vision where he signed The Call, book called The Call. And it tells about three armies, you know.
Yeah.
And
powerful.
Little did I know, we were reading our autobiography that we would walk out. And it was in 1998. It was November 1998.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so, but in that, you know, as we begin to pray, you know, God begins to move. As a matter of fact, when I'm talking to you on VFN Radio right now, and those that are watching, you know, VFN TV around the world, that came out of prayer. It just came out of prayer that we begin to pray and seek God. But there comes a point in time, God answers prayer, you know, and we're seeing Him answer quickly. Sometimes He's moving the world around. And I know that when we were unfolding vision for what God's called us to do at Vine Fellowship Network, I was meeting with the leaders at our annual leadership meeting gathering. And I was sharing with them, what God was going to do through VFN Radio and VFN TV and all of this. And as I began to share what He was doing, and it kind of played what we're doing right now, but it was in the prophetic, if you would, that God just showed up. Do you remember that?
Oh, it was powerful.
It was so powerful. Mm. You know, and those that are listening, you know, in the VFN family, your leaders, they can remember this. It was so powerful that people began to weep and the anointing dropped. And I know that we're talking to you right now on VFN Radio because this is the will of God.
That's right.
This is for us. This is what He wanted to do. He wanted to be a mouthpiece. He wanted us to surrender our mouths and our hearts to Him so He could speak to you and begin to tell you that He desires a family. Mm-hmm. You know, he sowed a son so that he could reap a family. He's Father God. Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming King, but he's also our elder brother. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have mothers and fathers in the Lord. We're family,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the enemy is just totally just exploded and just fragmented our understanding of family. The reason why is he does not want us to experience what God created us for. But guess what? God's raising up a voice. He's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And so be encouraged, you know, through what you're hearing on VFN radio and VFN TV. You're going to be hearing a lot of testimonies and people whose hearts have been healed. Because when you think about it, you know, when you think about somebody who's fatherless, you know, everybody always, the first thing that comes to mind, they think about a child or an orphan,
mm-hmm.
something of that nature. You know, somebody that's 4 years old, 5 years old, maybe eight. Sometimes then it begins to wane. It's like all of a sudden a fatherless 7 year old, when he's 16 years old, he's no longer fatherless anymore.
Right.
Untrue. And then when he's 20 or 25, I mean, he's perfect because you don't see, and the truth is you just have a fatherless man or a fatherless woman.
Uh-huh.
They've never been fathered.
Right.
And, you know, that the key of us, beginning to be fathers and mothers is we're going to have to get that paradigm. We're going to have to get healed in those areas of our life. And we get that healed in the areas of our life by getting in right relationship with those that God has around us to be able to walk us through a couple of seasons of our life to go, hey, you know, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know, a fatherless son or mother becomes father. They get the father's heart and the perspective, and then they go out and their fathers and mothers and Lord, and they do the very same thing, and they father the fatherless. And that's what the Lord is doing. As a matter of fact, the generation that's going to bring in the Lord is going to be the spirit of Elijah, you know, and it's going to be those who are moving in the father's heart. And they're going to, you know, think about being a father and a mother for those that are fathers and mothers, you know, that it's a selfless thing. I mean, you're just wanting your children to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they both have to respond. The child has to respond and the parent has to respond. And so as long as we're still thinking about parenting in the church, for example, you know, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, who is my mother, who is my brother, Jesus said, those who do the will of my father, as long as we're thinking about speaking into somebody's life because of what we're going to get out of it, it's still dysfunctional, it's still fatherless. It's about giving to someone in hopes that they can do what you're doing. It's empowerment. It's not positions of power, but empowerment. They're supposed to carry it on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supposed to be able to leave and it continue on because you raised healthy sons and daughters. So in that, you know, part of that, the was birthed out of the International House of Prayer is it's called a Heart's Cry and Exodus Cry. And it's a ministry just praying for those who are in being trafficked. How do you say it? Traffic?
I think you said it right.
You don't want to say that. Stick a dig a dig a dig a dig a stick a dig a
dig. Yeah, that got me saying it.
Human
trafficking.
Human trafficking and the sex trade. You know, when you think about, if you know, I don't know if you know this. If you're a young listener, you know, you don't know about, you know, some of the things that have happened in the past, but one was a particular man named Bundy. And Bundy actually got arrested in Pensacola, Florida. He was riding, I think, a Volkswagen or something like that. And one of the police officers, which I know who arrested him, had a taillight out, and they stopped him, and he didn't give his right name. And so they arrested him. You arrest people at that point for being a John Doe, and you keep them in jail until you find out, you know, who they are. And, of course, they eventually found out that he was, you know, Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his – it's – Yeah, Bundy was his name.
Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy. I believe it's Ted. I don't want to guess. Okay, it's Ted Bundy. And then, so then Dr. Dobson, with Focus on the Family, took time to interview him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people criticized him for it. But, you know, obviously seeking understanding, you know, how did you get here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know me, I'm always like, okay, I understand what we're talking about. Let's go back and let's talk about how we got here. Yeah. No, I don't want to talk about how we got here. We're going to always be here if we don't find out how we got here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes and interviews Bundy in jail because he's already been convicted. And if you don't know, Bundy went to college campuses around America, and he was stalking women, and he was raping women, and he was killing women, and it was just horrific what he was doing. And so when Dr. Dobson's interviewing him, Dr. Dobson found out, as Ted Bundy shared with him, that it all started when he was looking at the Sears catalog. Now, if you know what that is, everybody's listening, you know, is that online? Oh, there was this book. It was a big, fat book. And I know that Donna can relate to it because they used to sit around as kids and they would just circle what they wanted for Christmas.
Exactly what I did. Oh, my goodness. That was my Christmas list every year.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Mom, we need to talk. I never got a Sears catalog. Anyway, so, well, I got one, but I didn't know you could circle it. They treated me really well. Thank you. And but they realized it didn't just end up, he didn't end up on the street stalking women and doing these terrible things and killing them. Mm-hmm. It started when he began to see images that he shouldn't have been looking at in the wrong way. And this is a catalog. This mm-hmm. is just this is the Sears catalog. We have gone so much further. I mean, just walking down the street. I mean, the billboards.
Oh,
you know, you take your family to places, and you're just like you gotta book it out of the place, and different things are going on. You know, trying to keep those images, you know, pure in your heart, and those type of things. And one of the things that David Wilkerson says in the book that I was telling you about, as a matter of fact, I can read it right here. I have the book. He says that we've been desensitized. And he says, that's the dangerous thing now that we've been desensitized because, let me find it here so I can get it. It's on page 60, I think. He says, America is worse than Gibeah, which was Israel's part of the Benjamin tribe. That they were doing the same thing that Sodom and Gomorrah was doing, because I always say, that's Sodom and Gomorrah. So that was just totally terrible, and mm-hmm. you know, that's not God's people. Well, this is the Benjamites. And the same thing was happening. Long story short, you can find it by getting the book. But then he says this, because the town ended up in a smoldering ashes there. And the church is going like, well, God, you know, we just read Proverbs, hello, you know? So he's like, is that God laughing right now, my destruction? And he says, this is what he says. He says, America is worse than Gibeah. He says, our whole society is sick. Nothing shocks us. Nothing shocks us. We have become desensitized to evil. And it's hard to keep a sensitivity to evil because there's so much evil.
Much of it.
But you remember, he says, it'll be the same as days of Noah. Mm-hmm. And the days of Noah, he says, on their minds and in their deeds, everything was evil 24/7. So we're progressively getting to that point. And we as believers have to be like Noah and say, you know, I'm not going to keep this stuff on my mind. We have to take extra efforts to make sure this is not on our mind. Anyway, mm-hmm. So Ted went from Sears catalogs to progressing to the point where he actually started acting out in what he was seeing or fantasizing about. You know, we have wonderful teachings on the god Dagon, which is said to be transferred through fantasy, mm-hmm. you know, Asherah and Baal mm-hmm. worship and all these different things. You'd be really surprised just because we don't call it Baal worship. People say, well, we don't do stuff like that. But when you look at the definition of it, you know, we were actually in front of the stock market there with the bull, you know, Baal idol sitting right in front of the stock market.
Right.
And we don't realize, since we don't use the vocabulary, therefore we don't do it. Anyway, mm-hmm. So then we started with the imagery. Sears catalog, and ended up doing that. Well, look at the imagery today. Look what the enemy is just inundating children with, men with. I believe the statistic is, and you can find out at besecure.com. That's BSECURE.com. And they have the statistics on there, and we'll pull them up later on in our shows. But understand this, that a large percentage of the men in the church, you know, and it's increasingly now even with women, are caught up and addicted to some sort of internet pornography. Mm-hmm. And they're doing what Bundy did, but way worse than the Sears catalog. And if what Bundy did led to that, what is today, what's being exposed, the enemy's just pushing and pushing in front of you, and in front of your family, in front of your the church. Unless we stand up for righteousness and you know, the cross of Christ, we're going to talk about that in the extra hour today. You know, we need to be empowered by God to say no, you know, say no. And so with that, what was birthed out of the International House of Prayer is Exodus Cry. And Exodus Cry's focus on is rescuing people who's being trafficked in the sex trade. Mm-hmm. And they came up with the movie, which is a documentary, which is, oh my goodness, it's the real raw deal, but it touches your heart and helps you connect what's going on. And it's called Nefarious. You know, we're familiar with Nefarious because God's, remember that?
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. We got so many things to share with you. I don't know if there's enough time left for us in our lifespan to tell you that all the things that have happened at this point, but that's definitely a key word for the Lord. And so it's called Nefarious, Merchant of Souls. You got to be able to get it. It's available now. You can go to nefariousdocumentary.com. Nefarious is spelled N-E-F-A-R-I-O-U-S. Nefarious. Nefarious, a Merchant of Souls. Nefariousdocumentary.com. You can find it out. And also support. You know, we actually are connected to them. We like to be able to help them out. And just be there for them and encourage them and be a part of the answer, be a part of the solution. And when we do that, when we actually do that, then that's actually honoring what God wants to do, and it's turning to God. It's being there. So when we actually help others, God helps us. That's nefariousdocumentary.com.
You know, it's exciting, you know, Greg. You know, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was so pumped about wanting to know more about Him and giving my life to Him. So I remember I just graduated a 4-year university.
4 years.
4 years. Spent all this money in student loans. Oh, yeah. And I got my first real professional job, you know. Wow. And
what was your degree in? What was your degree in?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is that funny?
Well, you know, coming from 10 years of law enforcement just makes me think about it.
Well, you know, so I just get my real professional job. I'm working for the Department of Juvenile Justice, and I hadn't even been there 6 months, but God is just doing such an amazing work in my life, and I'm willing to just leave my job, and I wind up going to a Bible college, go back to school.
Yeah.
And
after
so,
4 years of getting a degree, you're going to go back to school.
Right. Wow. And so I wanted to prepare myself, you know, and I thought, I didn't even think that God could use me. You know, I thought, you know, I'm going to be a Christian for a long time. I just want to, you know, know more about God, you know.
Totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I didn't even think, you know, I was going to be used or do anything for Him. And so I said, you know, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. So I go to school and I get all this education, and I'm hearing every week it appeared, you know, we're going to go to China and we're going to go to India and we're going to take Africa. And I'm thinking, who's going to take me?
Because as a new believer, you have so many personal struggles and you want to be able to find out how to get past that. You know, how do I help me from me, right?
You tell me about it, right? So, you know, what was encouraging is to now to finish that and to be graduated. You know, it's so amazing what VFN University is all about and how we can equip people that are hungry, believers that want to do something for God and not get lost in theological references but you can grow as a person. You
Four-inch books.
Say it again.
4-inch books, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, goodness, trying to study Hebrew and you can't even get out of Genesis. You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Yeah.
Really talking about Ezekiel right now? You know what I mean? They're like, you know, I love when Mark Twain said.
Can you help me turn my head right now?
Exactly.
Let's turn the pages.
I thought Mark Twain said, I hope I'm saying it correctly, but he says, not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the scriptures I do understand, you know?
Personal relationship with Him. So we start learning all this knowledge without knowing how much He loves us. And that we're in His family and we're working from a place of success, not for success.
Absolutely.
It's just so much safer, you know.
Sure. And out of relationship is a whole lot better than out of your head knowledge. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know it. Totally know it. Well, more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. Well, this concludes the end of our first hour. Stay tuned for the second hour. We'll be coming up in just a moment. Thank you for joining us. Those that have to break from us, don't forget you can find out on the application at VFNTV.com as well. And here in the archives, what's happening, we'll be talking about in the second hour. We're going to be talking about God's news behind the news, what's happening with unemployment rate, what's God's perspective, and we're talking about Israel and how to be steadfast in the Lord. We'll see you at the extra hour.